Hi, I'm Mel Pickup, Chief Executive of Bradford Teaching Hospitals, and welcome to this month's episode of our podcast series, where I sit down with colleagues and partners from across the Trust and the wider community to learn more about their work and the impact it has on the people of Bradford. This episode is a little different and a special one, as it was recorded live at our Thrive Leadership Conference. This year's event focused on the theme of belonging throughout the ages, past, present and future, and celebrated the idea that there is a leader in everyone. In this episode, we will hear from Alida Towns, Education Lead, Abdel Latif Mohammed, A&E Clinical Practice Educator, and Mortimer Fraser, Clinical Educator, about the challenges international colleagues face when they first arrive at the Trust, and what we can all learn from how we welcome international staff from around the world. Abdel Latif, you should be really cool about this, because we have done a podcast, haven't we? So you tell us then, how did you get to Bradford?
You know, the way to Bradford was full of challenges and full of success as well. So the first challenge for us to get registered in NMC, and this process is really not easy process, starting from data verification or data check, CBT, English exam with high score, so all of this stuff. The second challenge to, you know, I have worked in three countries before, my home country, Oman and Kuwait. So I said that the second challenge for me was to set criteria for the place I want to work in, for the place I would like to live in. So my first criteria was, I said I will not work in any private hospital anymore, because my previous experience was not very good. And I can see patients leaving the hospital or not having the proper treatment because they don't have the money. So my NHS was my first or only, you know, destination here in UK. So this was the first criteria. Second one, the place, it should be diverse, having multicultural. When I checked the Bradford, my information about, you know, UK cities was not very high. So I make a search on the hospital and I watch your videos on YouTube, and this gives me a good impression about the hospital and the value. And I said, yeah, this is the right place to work in at start. And I didn't regret it. I still feel that I done the right thing.
You're from Egypt.
Yeah.
And tell us, just what did you do in Egypt before you came here?
So after bachelor degree, most of nurses in New Orleans graduate from, there's many institutions to study the nurses. So most of graduate after, you know, after bachelor degree, they work in managerial positions, working in head nurse, as a head nurse. 80% would work as a head nurse. So my first work was in a teaching hospital in my same university, same university teaching hospital. I worked there as a head nurse. Then after 1 year, I nominated by the Dean of Faculty of Nursing to start education there. So about 2 or 3 years in Egypt between head nurse and education post.
And when we chatted before, you were, at that point, I think you were a staff nurse, weren't you, in a registered nurse in the accident and emergency department?
Yes.
You were, but I knew, and you said, your passion is teaching.
Yes,
So tell us what you do now.
Now, after 1.5 years, I got my first step in my progression here, and I'm a practice educator in A&E.
Great. Wonderful. So, you have, aside from your own experiences, you're very good at helping us as an organisation to welcome other international colleagues to the Trust. So, as someone who has been through that, Fraser, let's start with you. How can we make that the best possible experience? What are the things that really matter when not just you are starting a new organisation, but a new country, a new city?
It's difficult to move country. And so what you find happening, being an overseas nurse, I was looking for those things that made me feel like I belong here. And one of those things was the culture, multicultural. I'm from a country whereby we have 6 races. We have the Africans, we have the Chinese, we have the Portuguese, we have the Amerindians, we have the Europeans. And when I came here, what you find happened, I did not just meet these individuals, I met persons from places like Sri Lanka, places from Hong Kong, right, places like Australia. And for me, I felt as if, yes, this is where I want to be part of this. And in supporting overseas nurses, what you find happening is a lot of overseas nurses, they came up from all different places, and now you're meeting different people, and you feel that sense of belonging. Now, what I love doing, I love helping. And so I'm able to help these individuals because when I came over, I understood the importance of help. When you were struggling, how much persons reached out to say, you know what, let me assist you during this process. And one of the most important things for overseas nurses is that when you come over, you want to pass your exam. You want to pass at OSCE. Because if you don't pass at OSCE, then there's no UK for you. There's no Bradford for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah? There's no Bradford for you. And so being able to help these individuals with their exam and ensuring that they have the best possible support, it was that is what belonging meant to me.
So thinking about what Helen said this morning, that one sort of shared vision, and that shared goal that got you guys to the other side of the Atlantic was not thinking about yourself and what you need. So if we kind of have that in our mind in supporting our overseas colleagues to orientate, to get things that are really important to them, somewhere to live, something to do, there are exams, finding their way around a new city, all of those things. Think about what their needs are as opposed to what we might need as individuals. That will help cultivate that sense of belonging, won't it? Alina, what you know, from your experiences, what made the difference for you?
For me, it was from the day I arrived for my interview, and I did research hospitals in Yorkshire before we moved here, and Bradford Teaching Hospitals, at that time, they had what was called a personal responsibility framework. People may remember the PRF, which today is our values. And it was very well published on the website. And I thought, I'm going to go work there. That's where I want to work. It just felt like my place. And it resonated with my own. And from the day I arrived for my interview, having flown in from Southampton, because it was the only flight there was in time, the person who checked me in, to the person who interviewed me, and I don't know if she is in the room, right down to the lady in the volunteer lady who was this week in Let's Talk in the tea bar, because I had to sit there from 9 to 2 waiting for my interview. Honestly, the welcome, the way they made me feel like, where have you been? You know, why did you take so long? And the welcome was amazing. Just from that moment onwards, and from the day I started, and my ex-colleagues are here who started with me, the way they welcomed me and made me feel at home, it just took all that pain out of it. It was like I was always here. It really was. And I look after, with Dr. Shafiq Khan, I don't know if he's here, but he's our Trust IMG lead, and I work with him supporting international medical graduates. And like Fraser said, I understand that journey that they've gone through, and they arrive here by themselves, without families, isolated, and they're going to deliver care to our patients. And whatever I can do with Shafi and everybody else to just make their journey a little bit smoother, a little bit more stress-free, pointing to simple things like, for most of us now, is how to open a bank account. You know, how to get it addressed, somewhere to stay so that you can get your CRB, so you can work. It's simple things like that. The language, language barriers, terminologies, just quite a number of hurdles. So it's just giving them that extra time. And I must say, NHS England is really good at giving them extra time to just settle in before they expect them to work on their own. And I love that.
It's not just English, is it? It's Yorkshire.
I was going to say that people are just, Afrikaans is my first language, English is my second language. And that was the one familiar thing. People speak English here, apparently. It's tough.
Abdul Latif, how about you? What made the difference for you?
So many things. I would start from the day, you know, Sharon, she retired now. She was responsible for the safe stuffing. So what I would say, warm welcome, personalized welcome. She was very keen to pronounce my name correctly. She asked me how I can pronounce your name. Okay, and she asked about, she knows my family name, my wife and my daughter's name. She keep asking me about them. So personalized, you know, welcome. I remember when they sent the taxi to get me from the airport, and she was waiting here in Wardley House, providing accommodation for three months to make me focus only on the POSCE exam. Mm-hmm. She took us on a tour in the city and to show us where is everything, how to get it. I remember here getting a bag of groceries. It might not cost, you know, £30, but it have a great effect when she saying this is halal food, this is tomato, this thing is some, you know, you might find it some, you know, something small or underestimated, but it really have a great effect. When she asked me about my culture, what is the popular sport today, what's the popular food, how it look like. So these small things make me feel that I was welcomed.
Fab. So tell us then, this is your last question, nearly there. So tell us then, what you know, you've got colleagues in the room who are part of teams, just as you are part of teams, and tomorrow they might have a colleague arrive from another country, like you have in your own time. What advice would you give them then to enable other people in this organisation to have the same positive experiences that you have? What should they take away with them?
I would say the leadership. I was lucky to have very excellent leader in my way, starting from the interview day until now. So if we have a leaders, we prepare, you know, I know that we have a good leader, many good leaders here in the trust. So, but I would like to highlight on this issue. So if we have a leader who can identify their team member, you know, identify their weakness, promote their strengths, a leader who have a coaching, you know, coaching skills to able to empower his staff, leader who's fair and listen to his staff. I would say a leader like Sharon, who make our experience very good at the first few days. It was really, you know, tough days. Leader like Fraser, who received us and start preparing us for OSCE exam, and he just not doing his work only by providing us materials or learning sessions, but he was making sure that our well-being is fine. A leader like my line manager, Natalia Taylor, who was listening to me, and she provided much support to me. She's now, for your information, I know most of you know that she's the employer of the year last year, and she got promoted from band, you know, 7, and she's a matron now. She left our department last week. I'm sad to hear that she see her leaving the department, but I'm very happy for her progress because she deserves this. So I know it's not planned, but I would be happy if you share me and greet her. Could you stand up, please, Natalia? Kind of leaders really make our experience nice. They empower us. They motivate us to go beyond our expectation.
Great.
Leadership.
Thank you. So really strong leadership to welcome all newcomers, but be especially minded that people who come from other countries have additional needs and that go beyond just the day job. I think that's what you're saying, isn't it? It's just, okay, Alida, what about you?
I'll sort of base it on my experience, and I would say it all starts with onboarding, right from the word go. And if somebody arrives for the first day on the job, to me it's so important that they must get the feeling like, oh, you were waiting for me. The name should be there on the door. The desk should be ready. Even when we didn't have money to go and buy stationery, I would go and buy a notepad, a pen, a pencil. Everything has to be ready. In other words, we've been waiting for you. We can't wait for you to join us. It's just a little thing like that.
Yeah.
To you're welcome. And taking somebody around and introducing them. And then it's every day, and it's the leadership in everybody that you talk about as well. I absolutely agree, because it's the small things from colleagues that can make such a difference. And when I first joined, it was such a tough time in CPBS because they just centralized and just started off. It was so difficult, but everybody rallied around, and there were times when we were like, this is not working. And we would just lean on each other, and it's similar to Helen's story about when you go through tough times, you bond and you get together, and you know you belong here because you've got to make this work, and you're stronger. You're stronger as a team. So for me, it is onboarding, it is respect, absolute respect and professionalism, and value people. I value my team. Everybody contributes in some way, and I'm quite a keen thank you card writer, as people will know who work with me. It's when they go out their way to do just that little something that nobody asked them to do. And checking in on my team all the time and celebrating success together.
That's what Helen said, that was really important.
Yes, celebrate success, because that's what it's all about.
Brilliant. So Fraser, the closing words then. Closing words of Fraser wisdom.
So here at Bradford, just echoing a little bit of what Abdulatif would have mentioned and even Alida would have mentioned. It's one of those things whereby befriending is the first part of all of this. Be genuinely interested in the individual. Understanding that we're not just our technical skills. We're a father, a mother, an uncle, an aunt, right? And when you understand those things, you understand that we're all complex. And as good leaders, how are we to really understand these individuals so that we can help them along the way? People like Sharon was so instrumental, even from the interview from back home, made you feel so welcome, make you feel a part of the team already without even meeting here in the UK. And when you go to various persons like genuinely ask, where are you from? What language? What's your national food? What's your national dish? Because one of the things we did with overseas nurses, we had, on the last day of boot camp, we had a potluck. They were able to bring their food, wear their cultural attire, and they felt really good about it, understanding. And I mentioned before that we have 6 races in our country. One of those is the East Indians. And so I look at a lot of Bollywood movies. And so when we have our overseas nurses coming from India, and I start to mention some of the, and I start to speak a little bit of Hindi, the little that I know from watching so much Bollywood movies, right?
What about the dancing,
Fraser?
They do that.
Yeah.
Well, any? No?
I need the attire so that it can look good. Right. So what? When you start to utilize those sort of languages, it's like, Fraser knows that,
yes.
Right? And so they felt as if, yes, we're in a position, we're in a place whereby we belong. Because you don't treat them as if they're different. You don't just see them as a skill. Another thing is, when you're genuinely interested in the individual, you want to know what are the struggles that they're going through. How can I offload some of those burden? My colleagues mentioned about simple things like bank account, like where to live. And these are the things. A lot of times they come over, we want references because we want to rent. Is there anybody I can call upon to provide a reference to me? And these are the things. And so when you look at it, once you're genuinely interested, and what I find, you have to go counterculture. And it takes energy, it takes time, it takes effort. And once you're able to do that here at Bradford, then we're in a good place. Yeah.
colleagues, thank you so, so much. We are really privileged to have you here, and I know, talking to you before, that you don't just do your jobs. You are actually ambassadors for our organisation outside, and I know that you have spoken to colleagues and have encouraged them even to make the same sort of journey towards this organisation, who I hope, with your advice, will continue to welcome those people with open arms. Thank you very much.